denial is not limited just to climate change. It's denial of every environmental problem going. In fact, recently, people are still trying to deny that DDT was ever a problem, and some people have actually called Rachel Carson, who wrote Silent Spring recently, the biggest mass murderer in history. And also you've got nuclear winter, you've got the hole in the ozone layer, you've got tobacco. There's been a whole series of denials. So there's a denial of a whole lot of environmental problems, and this is the most latest and possibly the most serious. So we became fascinated respectively on why climate change denial is increasing when the science is in fact becoming more and more certain, the number of people believing it is in fact going the other way in many countries around the world, and also respectively in regard to the various arguments that are used to deny climate change. And this is where John's become an expert with his website, with his over 80 climate change denial, 160, I'm out of touch. So, and I'm sure they won't be the last ones. Now, as long ago as 1988, a UN conference on the changing atmosphere concluded, humanity is conducting an unintended, uncontrolled, globally pervasive experiment whose ultimate consequences could be second only to a global nuclear war. So the risk involved is very great. And as Professor Stephen Snyder, when I saw him a few weeks before he sadly passed away, one of the world's great climate scientists, noted, we all have home insurance, we all have fire insurance. Why don't we have climate change insurance when the risks involved are actually greater for you than those risks you insure your home for? And the reason, of course, is denial. There's a denial industry funded by fossil fuels, and this is what's been called literal denial. You're literally denying there's any problem at all. Now, way back in the 1960s, a tobacco company called Brown and Williamson wrote a memo which said, "Doubt is our product, since it's the best means of competing with a body of fact that exists in the minds of the general public. It is also the means of establishing a controversy." Now, James Hoggan, who's actually a Canadian PR expert, but he became fascinated also in the denial industry, wrote a great book called Climate Cover-Up. He describes the denial industry as a story of betrayal, a story of selfishness, greed, and irresponsibility on an epic scale. In its darkest chapters, it is a story of deceit, of poisoning public judgment, of an anti-democratic attack on our political structures, and a strategic undermining of the journalistic watchdogs who keep our social institutions honest. Now, of course, governments also deny problems. And it was interesting, actually, when we had a launch in Brisbane by Kate Jones, the environment minister there, who first thing he said when I handed her a copy, he said, it's interesting you handed me a copy as a politician to launch it, because we're often the ones who deny these issues the most. And often what we call this interpretive denial. And philosopher Eric Fromm, way back in 1976, noted that, has a great quote where he asks, "How is it possible that the strongest of all instincts, that for survival, seems to have ceased to motivate us? One of the most obvious explanations is that the leaders undertake many actions that make it possible for them to pretend they are doing something effective to avoid a catastrophe. Endless conferences, resolutions, disarmament talks, all give the impression that the problems are recognised and something is being done to resolve them. Yet nothing of real importance happens. But both the leaders and the led anaesthetise their consciences and their wish for survival by giving the appearance of knowing the road and marching in the right direction." So there's a denial industry, there's denials within governments, but there's also what's been called implicatory denial, which where we, the people, deny reality and delude ourselves. Now, sociologist Stanley Cohen notes that we are vaguely aware of choosing not to look at the facts, but not quite conscious of just what it is we're evading. We know, but at the same time, we don't know. And of course, many of us are very good at denying the elephant in the room, that climate change is caused by humanity and its actions, by humanity en masse, that is, us together. Now, another sociologist, Evyatar Zerubbabel, noted about the elephant in the room that elephants rarely go away just because we pretend not to notice them. Although everyone hopes that if we pretend not to acknowledge their existence, maybe they will go away. Even if the proverbial ostrich that sticks its head in the sand does not really make problems disappear by simply wishing them away. Fundamentally delusional, denial might help keep us unaware of unpleasant things, but can never actually make them go away. Now, in the book, I think it's around page 109, if anyone was still, we note that, you can check later, yep, the fossil fuel industry has much to answer for in seeking to confuse the public in order to continue to reap massive profits. Governments have much to answer for too, 20 years of interpretive denial. Nonetheless, we are compelled to conclude that we, the people, also have something to answer for. We as a society let denial prosper. We let our politicians get away with endless discussion and reports, with policies that do nothing and conferences that set no meaningful targets. Many of us let ourselves be deluded by the siren song of denial. After all, if you deny something, you no longer have to worry about it. We seem to think we can deny the bad thing and it will go away, like the bogeyman in the dark. Except now the bogeyman is not going away. Climate change is real, and for 20 years we've been fiddling as Rome started to burn. It is indeed a siren song we've been listening to. Denial is a delusion, and in some ways is one of the great dangers in the human psyche. When we worry about something, if it makes us afraid, if it makes us feel helpless, if it clashes with our self-image, then we have this capacity to ignore reality and move into denial. Then we convince ourselves we don't have to worry. But when denial threatens society, the Earth's ecosystems, and a sustainable future, it has become not only a delusion, but a dangerous pathology. Now, climate change, of course, isn't just about science. It's about science, but it's not just about science. It's about ethics also. And as Zurbuvel, the sociologist, has an interesting quote about the silence of denial in regard to ethics. His quote is, "The best way to disrupt moral behaviour, notes political theorist C. Fred Alford, is not to discuss it and not to discuss not discussing it. Don't talk about ethical issues," he facetiously proposes, "and don't talk about our not talking about ethical issues. As moral beings, we cannot keep non-discussing undiscussables. Breaking this insidious cycle of denial calls for an open discussion of the very phenomenon of undiscussability. So it's way past time to talk about the problem of denial." And we do talk about climate change now, but we still deny it, the reality of it. So to finish the book, we talk about returning to basics at the end of the book, where we ask ourselves some deep soul-searching questions. And I'll conclude with those. What do we value? If we value the diversity of life we share this world with, if we value those in poverty around the world and believe we should help them, if we value the rights of future generations, then we need to stop denying the problems we face. What do we believe in? If we believe in the reason that underpins science, then we need to accept that the peer-reviewed mainstream science tells us. We may not like it, but we must no longer deny it, in our own interests and in the interests of those we love. How much risk are we willing to run? Do we gamble on the future of the world, or do we plan responsibly? What do we fear? Well, personally, our greatest fear is that humanity's lack of action will leave a vastly impoverished world to the future. Do we accept a responsibility to others and the future? Well, if we do, then it's up to us to act, not others.